Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Well, grab your seat and grab your copy of God's word and go with me to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is a saying you might know. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, right? Relationships and lives broken by conflict often feel like a giant Humpty Dumpty, don't they? They're up there. They're fragile anyway. I mean, right? You've been in situations like that where relationships are fragile or peace is fragile. It doesn't take much. Like, conflict is just there underneath, sort of bubbling up and setting like a giant egg precariously situated on the high wall. And then just a little bit, just something before we know it, conflict comes along, knocks it off the wall, and breaks it into a thousand pieces. The whole scene, oftentimes, when conflict comes into your life and my life, it seems so hopeless. I mean, it's impossible, isn't it, to put an egg back together? It absolutely is. Even if you have all the king's horses and all the king's men, one of the deacons at my previous church, he loved to say, you can't unscramble an egg, Brother Ben. You can't unscramble an egg, all right? And you can't. You can't put that thing back together. You can't put the yolk back in and the white stuff. Miss Tammy, what's the white stuff in the chicken egg? I don't know. But anyway, you get that back in there, all that. You can't do it. Yet with God, all things are possible. Isn't that true? With God, all things are impossible. And so as you look around at your life and you see all these Humpty Dumpties, all these things where they've broken, they've smashed, the yoke is everywhere and the shell is in a thousand pieces. When you look around and see all that, listen to me closely. If you will engage yourself in the peacemaking process, God is faithful to put all the pieces back together. But it takes a certain kind of person, right? God is going to use a certain kind of person. You cannot be the proverbial bull in a china shop. And oftentimes when it comes to conflict, that's what we become, right? Either we jump right out of the gate as the bull, right? Like just like at the NRA events, right? I mean, right out. Here comes the bull. He's coming out. He's going to tear some stuff up. Or we avoid, hide it, fake peace, until all of a sudden we explode one day because we can't hide it anymore. We become that bull. We can't be G.I. Joe or G.I. Jane, right, coming in with guns blazing. We can't be Wreck-It Ralph. My family loves Wreck-It Ralph. And Wreck-It Ralph, his job in that video game, he's a bad guy, and being bad is good in that game, okay? And so his job is to demolish the building. We can't be that. No. When you do that, guys, you only make the problem worse. Our text this morning, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Galatians 6, 1 through 3 gives us a good glimpse at the type of person that God prescribes for restoring broken relationships. Galatians 6, 1, 2, and 3. If you're just now joining us in the series, maybe this is your first time, we're doing a series called Peacemakers. And as the title basically says, this has been, of course, it's inspired by Scripture, but Ken Sandy and his teaching, his ministry, the Peacemaker ministry, his book in particular, been very influential in my life. And so you'll hear things and say, hey, that sounds like something Ken Sandy would say. Well, yeah, likely it is something that Ken Sandy has said, but nevertheless, it is Bible truth, okay? So I invite you this morning, stand with me. Galatians chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3. I want to honor the reading of the Word of God because God's Word is true, okay? And it is the very Word of God. Verse 1 out of chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you and we want to come under the authority of your scripture today. God, we recognize that this Bible is your word. God, not the pages itself, but it's your word. It's living, it's active. And God, because you've spoken it, God, we are to live under it. And so I pray today that you would mold and make us into the kind of people who work to make peace as we continue to sort of put together this toolbox for our lives. God, there are Humpty Dumpties everywhere in our lives, and I pray that you would help us with your strength to put pieces back together. Father, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice this morning who has never repented of their sin and believed on Jesus, we ask that this morning would be the day the Holy Spirit would call and they would say yes. They would run to the cross in repentance and faith and love, and that their life would first and foremost have peace with you, and then they could go make peace with others. So God, we just ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your seat. So as peacemakers, you and I, we are called to pick up the pieces and with God's help to put them back together again. And so our text today helps you and me to understand the pieces that make up a person who will likely be successful in putting the pieces together, all right? So we're to pick up the pieces, and so I'm going to give you some pieces that should be a part of your life. Today's task is to answer this question: what are the pieces of a peacemaking Christian? I see seven pieces in our text here. Seven pieces that you and I should strive for, not out of our own strength, but out of the grace and the strength of God. The first piece of a peacemaker is being restoration-minded. Being restoration-minded. The main thrust of what God says here through Paul in Galatians 6:1 is you should restore him. Not destroy him, not avoid or ignore him. You should restore him. This is the primary piece of a peacemaking Christian, right? You have to have restoration in mind. Now, the Greek word behind our English word restore here is the word katartizo. Katartizo, it's a word that means to mend that which was torn. To mend that which was torn. You picture a piece of fabric here. That's often what happens in conflict, right? A relationship gets torn. It's usually by some trespass, some transgression. Maybe it was big, maybe it was small, but whatever the case may be, now there is a tear here. As Paul points to in verse 1, there in the beginning, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, whatever it was, something has happened, something sinful, or maybe it wasn't necessarily sinful, but it was just wrong. It was a mistake. You didn't mean to hurt their feelings, but you did, and it's torn the fabric of the relationship. The peacemaker is focused on mending that which was torn, to restoring the relationship. Now, I've already mentioned Wreck-It Ralph, so I'm just going to stay on the animated series here, okay? With a house full of preschoolers and elementary children, as you might expect, I get to watch a lot of cartoons, right? Animated stuff. They don't draw them anymore. Now it's all 3D animation, whatever they call that. So we get to watch a lot of Curious George and Team Umizoomi and Teen Titans Go and Loud House and all that stuff. But the other night was a family movie night, and we did not watch Wreck-It Ralph. We watched for about the 25th time. We've seen Wreck-It Ralph probably 50 times. And so we said, let's go for one we've not seen very much. We've only seen this one 25 times. So we watched Brave. How many of y'all have seen the movie Brave? Yeah, it's a really good movie, really with a really good point to it. Brave set in ancient Scotland, and it tells the relational conflict. I mean, that's the whole point of the story, is that there's relational conflict there between a young princess, Merida, and her queen mother, Eleanor. Now, Merida, she's this strong, courageous young lass who would much rather follow in her father's footsteps, King Fergus, than her queen mother. She's a tomboy. She'd rather ride her horse and shoot her bow and arrows and do all that stuff, and she's really good at all that. But her mama has decided, sweetheart, you are a princess, and one day you'll be a queen. It's time for you to put down the bows and arrows, time to put your hair all nice and neat and braid it all up. It's time for you to grow up and to marry a prince. Now, I thought that was every princess's dream. Right? I thought that was every princess's dream, to marry a prince, but Merida, she can't think of anything worse. And it ends up in this great big fight. Both Queen Eleanor and Princess Merida, they say some things they regret. You've been there before? Right? You get in the middle of conflict and it's like, it just keeps coming. And you get done and you say, I can't believe I said that. And that's what happened here in the movie, right? I mean, Merida said something, and then Eleanor said something, and it kept going and going and going until in the process of the fight, something was torn. Literally torn, this large tapestry laying in there in the castle with a picture of the family woven into that tapestry. It gets cut. In the picture, the picture there in that tapestry, the queen and the princess are literally torn apart. And so Merida, she in an outburst of hurtfulness, she runs out of the castle into the woods. She jumps on her horse, heads out into the woods where she meets a witch. Okay, I didn't say this was a Christian movie. I just said we can see some Christian themes from it. And she talks to this witch and she said, I want to change my mama's mind. And so this witch comes up with this potion to change the queen's mind. But when the queen drinks it, what does the queen become? A bear. I hope I'm not giving the story away here, right? She becomes a bear. How many of y'all become bears when it comes to conflict? You know what I'm saying? Been there, done that, okay? We become bears. But Merida, she must find a way to reverse the spell before her queen mother becomes a bear forever. And she eventually finds the witch again, who tells her the key to reversing the spell. The witch said this, fate be changed, look inside, mend the bond torn by pride. As you might imagine, that confused Merida. But eventually she figures out she must mend the tapestry, the family tapestry, and drape it over her mama. And so she gets a needle and a thread, and she begins to mend back. She begins to restore, to put back together that tapestry and to drape it on her mama. And she does it just in the nick of time to transform her mama from a bear back into a human. Merida literally and figuratively did what Paul is asking us to do here. To mend not only the torn tapestry, right? But to mend the torn relationship, right? She restored the torn pieces. And that's what you and I have to have in mind. Now, I said a few weeks ago, one of the barriers to peacemaking is that you don't want to mend it. You want to bury the hatchet, but leave the handle sticking out, as the old saying goes, right? I mean, you kind of want peace, but you're ready to pick it up at any moment. You'd be happy to pick it up again. But if you want peace, if you're going to be the kind of person that God uses to make peace, you must be restoration-minded. If we're going to go and put the pieces back together, the pieces, conflict is broken, we must begin with restoration in mind. Now, the second piece of a peacemaking Christian is spirituality. Spirituality. God says here in Galatians 6:1 that the restoration should be undertaken by you who are what? Spiritual. You who are spiritual. He's not talking about some generic spirituality, right? He's talking about a person who is being ruled by the Holy Spirit. Somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody equipped by the Holy Spirit. Somebody bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Guys, it's not by chance that Paul appeals to you who are spiritual here in Galatians 6, because he just spent chapter 5 talking all about being ruled by the Spirit. Fleshly people can't peacemake, can they? We've been in the flesh. We've done that in conflict, and guess what happens? The best you can do when you're being ruled by the flesh in a peacemaking opportunity, the best you can do is to fake peace. But usually what happens is that you break it. You blow it to smithereens, okay? If you try to bring about peace while being ruled by the flesh, guess what you'll get? Well, Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 tells us what you and I will get. He spells it out in living color, right? Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guys, we can sum all this up to say this. If you try to make peace while being ruled by the flesh, it'll be like throwing dynamite into a fire. And guess what happens when you do that? You can expect an explosion. But God calls you who are spiritual. He calls for you who are spiritual. He doesn't want fleshly people handling the situation. He wants spiritual people. If you try to bring about peace by being ruled by the Holy Spirit, guess what you'll bring to the table? Something totally different. We see it laid out here, Galatians 22 and 23, chapter 5. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see, when we come to a conflict, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we pour water on the fire. If we come in the flesh, we throw dynamite on the fire. If we come in the Spirit, we throw water on the fire. That means, guys, that before you go to lovingly confront someone with whom you're in conflict with, you need to do some serious heart work before you get there. You know what I'm talking about? You need to do some serious heart work. You need to work to make sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But preacher, you don't know how they wronged me, how deeply they hurt me, how mad they made me. And I say, you know what? You're right. I have no clue. I have no idea how badly they hurt you and how righteous your anger is. Did you know you can have righteous anger? There is unrighteous anger and there is righteous anger. And when someone sins against you, you are righteous in your anger. But that righteous anger brought in to the resolution is not going to bring about peace. It needs to push you to the resolution table, but it will not bring about peace. So I have no idea what they did to you, but I do know this. The Holy Spirit is more powerful, amen? The Holy Spirit is greater than your flesh. You can do all things through the Holy Spirit, through His power. If you only lean on the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. The third piece is gentleness. It's gentleness. They used to call me growing up, they used to call me Gentle Ben because I was as big as a bear, you know. And I guess I did kind of have a gentle turn to me a little bit. But this goes right along with being spiritual, right? But it's more specific here. The flesh, man, we want to rough them up sometimes, don't we? Well, I mean, with bad intentions, the flesh wants vengeance. To put them through just a fraction of what they've put us through. The flesh wants to pull out the baseball bat and go all Al Capone them upside the head. You know what I'm talking about? The flesh wants to do nothing but destroy. It wants nothing to do with restoration. The flesh says, I want to tie them up in a sack and throw them in the river. But the Spirit says, restore them. Restore them. Nevertheless, guys, those who seek to restore, guys, they can still be rough. They can still be rough. They can still have the goal of restoration, but they still have a method that's really rough. You ever heard somebody say, I'd love to beat some sense into that guy? Maybe you've said that. Now, your goal in the end is that they do right, but your method was to beat some sense into them. And I don't know if you ever tried it before. It usually doesn't work, okay? They are usually dumber and madder and hate you worse after you do that. Like a beat down would fix it, okay? Come on, guys. Kicking their rear end might make you feel better, but it won't restore them, okay? Restoration requires gentleness. Paul says here in Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of what, church? Gentleness. There should be a softness, a tenderness. There should be control. There should be gentleness in our actions. and gentleness in our words. Proverbs 15:1 tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You need to be gentle in your words. If restoration is our goal, if we're ruled by the Holy Spirit, then gentleness is what's called for. The fourth piece of a peacemaking Christian is self-regard. Self-regard. Galatians 6:1 finishes up this way. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We have to go into conflict resolution, church, with self-regard. We have to guard our own heart. We have to watch over ourselves. You see, we as we aim for the heart, for their heart, we have to pay attention to our own heart. Because let's be honest, just because you go into the conversation all filled with the Spirit, being ruled by the Spirit, doesn't mean that the person you're going to talk to is filled with that Spirit, right? They may, when you go to them, they may let their redneck show. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just might let it all hang out. They may drop a bomb right in the middle of the conversation, and before you know what happened, your redneck is out now, and it's staying out, and you're going to win this or else, okay? You came ready to dispense water on the fire, but halfway in, you flipped a switch, and now you're fighting fire with fire. You done hulked out. You know what I'm saying? Done hulked out. Your temper's gotten the best of you. You've done thrown out some words you haven't used in years. You're like, whoa, I ain't said that in a long time. Wish I hadn't said that one. You done called their wife names, their children names. You done talked about their mama. It done got bad. And the conflict you hope to put out, you're now stoking to make even worse. What happened? You didn't have self-regard. You didn't guard your own heart. You see, conflict resolution requires that you keep a constant check on your own heart. Even if you go into the situation with the right heart, it can slip out of your fingers if you don't watch yourself. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling." Other translations say insult for insult. But on the contrary, bless bless, for this you were called that you may obtain a blessing. That's one of the reasons right there, guys, why I say Southerners, we have an upper hand in conflict resolution, because we love to say, bless your heart. We love to say that. You ever see somebody, you got to be careful of that. You ever see somebody say, bless your heart, like a weapon? Bless your heart. You know what I mean? Get that sarcasm there, okay? So nevertheless, we're not to return evil for evil. If they begin to return fire, even though we've come in ready to throw water on it, we don't return fire with fire. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Repay no one evil for evil. We give thought to do what's honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You've got to guard your heart, that you, as you go in with the right spirit, maintain that spirit and leave in the right spirit. You must have self-regard. The fifth piece of a peacemaking Christian is compassion. Compassion. God calls us here in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens. Now, the word burden, it's from the Greek word baros, refers to a heavy load that's too difficult to lift or to carry by yourself, right? When a person has wronged you, guess what they begin to do? They begin to carry a burden. It's a burden against God, right? If they've sinned against you, they've not just sinned against you, they've sinned against God. So they're carrying a burden. And sometimes our flesh says, let it crush them. Let the weight crush them. But love calls us to not let them carry that burden alone. We're to carry that burden with them. We're to carry it with them. That's what conflict resolution is, guys. If there is somebody in your life, that Humpty Dumpty in your life, that's been broken all to pieces, love calls you, compassion compels you to go and to help put those pieces back together. Love calls us to not let them carry the burden alone. We're to carry the burden with them. We're to be compassionate. To be compassionate, literally suffer together with them. You see, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is conflict resolution. Right? Is that not true? Right? When there's an issue between you and another person, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is to try and restore that, to work through that. That's why you avoid it. It's so awkward, it's so anxiety laden. But compassion says, no, we're going to carry this together. We're going to get through this together. That's what compassion is. The sixth piece of a peacemaking Christian is Christ-mindedness. Christ-mindedness. Paul says, Galatians 6:2, bear one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Well, I believe he's talking about John 13:34 here. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, this is Jesus talking, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Elsewhere, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And since you love yourself naturally, you should love your neighbor, even the one that you're in conflict with. But here, Jesus raises the bar. He didn't say love your neighbor as yourself. He said love as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love? By sacrificing his very life for the enemies of God. Why, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't come to save those who were already reconciled and restored with God. He came to save the enemies of God, the very ones that crucified him. He came to live and to die for. And you and I, we have to have that same selflessness, that same others focused that Jesus Christ himself had. If we're to love, if we're to fulfill the law of Christ, we've got to love. That means we've got to put the other person's needs. And yeah, they may be wrong. They may be the one that sinned against you. They may be wrong, but love says, go show them their fault. Next week, we're going to go through all that. What is the actual reconciliation process? We're going to go through all that. But love says, go show them your fault. Go show them their fault. And if your brother repents, you've won your brother. All right? Love compels you to do that. We got to have a Christ-mindedness. And then the final piece of a peacemaking Christian this morning is humility. Humility. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Pride often tears relationships apart. But more than tearing relationships apart, pride, more often than not, keeps relationships from being restored. Oftentimes, guys, it's like a staring contest. Who's going to blink first? I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to go talk to that person. They need to come and talk to me. We often say things like that, don't we? But Paul says here, if you're going to be a peacemaking Christian, you need to swallow your pride. And be humble. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You see, the truth of the matter is that you yourself are a peace breaker. I myself am a peace breaker. I've broken peace. I've wronged people. And I'm in the same boat. Again, maybe the person is the one that wronged me, but I've wronged others. And I need to be humble enough to say, I'm bigger than this. God's bigger than this. And we come in humility. Guys, all around you, there are Humpty Dumpties that are begging you, help! Put me back together! You who are spiritual will do that. And I pray as you look at the word today that you yourself would work and strive after God to be a peacemaking Christian. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live. And He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.